Hey, welcome to Getting Work to Work, a weekly podcast for creative professionals and entrepreneurs looking to grow by learning new things, getting inspired, and breaking down the barriers that prevent them from doing the work they were born to do. I'm Chris Martin, and you're listening to episode 149, Interview with Ashley Hoffman. Ashley is a content marketer, coffee connoisseur, and community builder based in Seattle, Washington. In this episode of Getting Work to Work, Ashley and I talk about the power and value of story, challenges facing content marketers, the creative community she's working on building in Seattle, and the benefits of having a creative community you can call your own. Show notes and links for this episode can be found at gwtw.co/149. Getting Work to Work is brought to you by Chris Martin Studios, a media production company telling stories with heart, edge, and fearlessness for those who dare to build a better world. Keep in touch with Chris Martin Studios by signing up for the Curiosity Lab, my weekly email newsletter at gwtw.co/149. By doing so, you'll receive inspiration on Mondays and Fridays with ways to increase your creativity, curiosity, and wonder. All right, you ready for this interview with Ashley? Cue the transitional music.
My name is Ashley. By day, I'm a marketing coordinator at a local real estate firm. And on the side, I'm a part-time freelance content marketer and writer focused on helping creative businesses tell their story and connect with real people. On the side of that, I'm also kind of working on a couple different side projects. I just recently wrote a book, so I'm in the middle of editing that. So it's super exciting. And then I'm also a co-founder of a local meetup here for creatives called Creative Connect Seattle.
Wow. I like that you have a side project for your side project.
I do.
That sounds like it keeps you really busy.
Yeah, there's, you know, never enough hours in the day as it seems, but I think it's gotten me really good at kind of learning how to work smarter. Mm-hmm. And so really just taking advantage of, you know, not spending hours on Instagram, for example, and instead just really pursuing some of my passions. And there's constantly something going on. Mm-hmm.
One of the things that fascinated me when I was looking at your site was how much you write about the importance of story. And what is it about story that has captured your imagination?
I'm very passionate about storytelling and the power that it has to really connect people. Mm-hmm. And for me, I think, you know, being able to put yourself in somebody else's shoes and see things from a different perspective than your own. You know, I think we all have kind of our own unique stories and our own unique, you know, ways of how we grew up and our experiences in the world. And so I think stories really give us an opportunity to find ways to better relate to and better communicate with others. Mm-hmm. I just think, you know, it's really incredible what power stories really have to just build these connections beyond just the facts to become more memorable. So I don't really know, and this is probably a good example of how it's hard to remember facts, but you don't really remember as many facts. I mean, I'm a marketer. I probably could tell you one or two numbers from the analytics from last month that I just looked at like yesterday, mm-hmm. but I just watched all 6 Lord of the Rings movies, and I could probably tell you, you know, the entire basic storyline of them in the last like 2 months. So it's just kind of a nerdy example, but it's an example of how, you know, you really remember the stories that people tell you and the stories that you're kind of exposed to. Mm-hmm. You can really just relate to them, and yeah, they're great.
Well, even with a nerdy example like that, I think what happens is once you mention Lord of the Rings, it's like you have that connection between two people at that point, especially right. if they're into it as well. So how are some of the ways that stories connect to people?
For you and me talking right now about Lord of the Rings, we've both seen it, I'm mm-hmm. assuming.
Oh, yeah.
and yeah, both love it. And that's something that, you know, if I was just meeting you for the first time randomly, that's something that we could instantly just start talking about. And it gives people a reason to feel closer to you and form that deeper connection because, you know, for one, you have something in common. But on kind of the flip side of that, if you're talking about a personal experience that you might have had, if you're kind of telling a more personal story, give people that kind of deeper connection of who you are. Hmm.
So as you're talking about like levels of story, whether it's like a really personal story or something like the epic stories and mythical stories almost, what are some of the different kind of stories that I think bring people together?
That's a good question. I think it's just stories that really resonate with people, and that people find that they're able to find some kind of connection with and relate to. Mm-hmm. I keep thinking about this and I don't know why, but I keep wanting to look up just like movies that were filmed in Seattle. You know, if you're not talking about movies, books or anything really, it's having that connection. And I think that's what people, you know, really identify with.
Yeah. So what stories are you inspired by? Apart from movies based in Seattle.
Movies based in Seattle and Lord of the Rings. outside of that, I think there's this kind of thing happening right now where people, and I don't want to speak for all people, but some of the people that I've talked to and even my own personal experience is just that people are just getting really tired of hearing the best side of everybody. Mm. And seeing, you know, everybody on social media, online, people that you talk to at meetups and events. You know, it's natural for us to want to put our best foot forward and show the best versions of ourselves. Mm-hmm. And I think we're all getting a little bit burnt out of that, or I know I am. So for me, I'm really inspired right now by personal stories that really relate to times of conflict and struggle and, you know, different tribulations that people might have gone through. Especially if there's kind of a resolution, but mm-hmm. that doesn't even always need to be the case. I mean, mm-hmm. if someone comes to an event and I meet somebody and they say, you know, like, I just had a really rough day today, you know, just kind of getting deeper into that kind of story and just hearing about that and the lessons learned by that. So, yeah, definitely stories that really offer a glimpse into who and what they believe and are passionate about, and just like stories that make people more human. Mm-hmm. You know, we're not perfect all the time. So as much as we want to be, it's yeah. really nice sometimes when you hear people who are struggling just like you are, or I am anyway.
Mm-hmm. Well, I think that's really interesting, too, because for the longest time there was that feeling of needing to be perfect. What do you think is driving that desire for empathy and connection and being okay with having a bad day or going through tough stuff?
I think, you know, like I said, just people, we all like to be inspired by positive things, and we all like to log in on Instagram and see really beautiful feeds. But at the same time, one beautiful feed after another, and it's not real. It's very, you know, kind of shallow. And deep in our minds, we understand that there's more of a struggle that goes on. For example, if you're like a designer and you're following tons of people who do graphic design and they always post their really amazing work, mm-hmm. but what you don't see in the background, 117 sketches that it took for them to get there. Because of that, we all kind of fall into somewhat of a comparison trap, and you think, oh, you know, this person has an amazing piece of work. And then you look down at your own desk and you have 112 sketches that aren't quite there yet. And, you know, I'm not even a designer, but I'm just using that as an example of, mm-hmm. you know, just comparing yourself. And so I think it's really refreshing when you see somebody, especially if it's somebody who has a little bit more experience than you, who is like, yeah, you know what, I'm struggling right now too, and this is the process that I went through to get to where I am today. You know, kind of like step by step, other than just, oh, I was in the right place at the right time, mm-hmm. which granted can be part of it, but I think it's really just, I don't know, it's really just human to see the other side of it.
Yeah. Well, it's interesting too, because as you're describing this human to human connection, I'm thinking about brands and how do brands fit into that? Because for brands, it's all about being perfect.
Brand storytelling is a little bit different in a way, but I think it's the same, because stories are made up out of the same elements. You know, you got your character, your setting, your plot, your conflict and your resolution. The thing is that stories, no matter whether you're a brand or a person, they really just create that more human approach because, yeah, you're a brand, but there's people behind that brand. Or, you know, in the case of a freelancer or a sole proprietor, there's one person, but there's still a human behind it all. And I think brands who are really able to identify the humanity and be able to kind of take that and transform it into their own message, that's really powerful. So, you know, if we're going back to the elements of storytelling, brands can take the similar elements and turn that into their own story. Mm. You know, you've got your character, that's basically who you are, or more importantly, who your audience is. You got kind of your setting, which is also kind of the beginning of it, which is kind of where you come from, why the brand exists. And then your conflict in the middle is the problem that you're trying to solve for your character or your audience, and is basically the core conflict, and then how you solve the conflict and how you add value. Mm-hmm. Beyond all that, it's just who you are and you know, how you're able to kind of turn yourself into a more human company and give that, you know, really real approach. You know, I have one example of kind of a brand story just to kind of put it in perspective. Yeah, yes, that please. I really love. Everyone knows Tom's Shoes, but it's just such an inspiring and amazing example that I can't help but bring it up. Mm-hmm. You know, Blake Mycoskie, I think if I'm saying it right, mm-hmm. he started it. You know, everyone knows, or a lot of people know, he went to Argentina, saw all these kids without shoes and said, you know, I want to do something with it. And so he came back with an idea of buy one and give one, and kind of he started, or at least really made popular, a whole new business model from that. But the thing that really stands out is that Tom's Shoes are, I mean, you know, I guess they're stylish, I guess they're comfortable, you know, they're good quality shoes, but they buy them because of the way that they feel when they buy them. Mm-hmm. And, you know, that kind of relates back to the whole humanity of it all. Is if you're building this story, and the story is essentially what people are taking away from it and what people are feeling when they're using your product or service. So in the case of Tom's, people changed the world with a pair of shoes that they were going to buy anyway. Yeah. It's just a really powerful, you know, example, I think.
Reflecting upon that story you just told, and also this phrase that you've used on your site, staying true to yourself, is that kind of in line with what you're talking about there?
Yes, definitely. I think staying true to yourself is just really important because it's all about just staying true to your purpose and your passion. You know, if you've got in your field to help people somehow, and the key is just to try not to get so tied up in the numbers and the day-to-day tasks that you kind of lose what that means.
That's really interesting because it can be so addicting to like look at the numbers and look at the validation in a sense, but nowhere in the hero's journey is there a validation.
That's very true. The bad guy isn't saying, oh, you're doing a really good job. I'm almost defeated. So, you know, that's very true. As a marketer, I do really rely on the numbers and, you know, oh yeah, I'm still doing good, but the numbers don't really tell you what the brand story is and what you're getting across. And, you know, ultimately the brand story is what people think of you and what people think and feel when they're interacting with you. Mm-hmm. And so that'll kind of show in the numbers a little bit, but mm-hmm. not really. It's more about just making those connections and building those really deep connections with people.
Do you think that story can be fully measured, or is story really intangible?
So that's a good question. I think it can't really be fully measured. Stories, they've been around since essentially humans can talk, I guess. And I'm not sure if you mean like measured as in, you know, impressions or the kind of thing that people, you know, how many people have heard it or how many people enjoyed it, things like that. But I think ultimately that shouldn't really even be a part of it. I think just storytelling is, at least to me, and I think there's lots of ways you can look at this, but to me, storytelling is more about simply making those connections and how many people you've made those connections with. You know, I think there's ways to do that. And, you know, and analytics and things will certainly tell you how many people have engaged with you or, you know, seeing you. And at the same time, it doesn't really tell you what they're thinking. Mm-hmm. People will scroll by it and think, you know, oh, that cheesy story, but they're going to like it anyway, you know, or something like that. And that's, it's kind of hard to measure the real true reactions, I think.
Yeah. What are some of the biggest challenges that you face as a content marketer?
It's really loud out there, and we've got, you know, thousands of content marketers in the same room, and they're all saying, look at me, I have something to say. And it's really hard to get across and get your message across and really stand out when there's so many people trying to make themselves heard. So I think that's a big one, especially, you know, being heard without overwhelming and over bombarding your audience. And also just really making content that adds value, contributes to your brand narrative, mm-hmm. and educates audience about your company while still remaining, you know, true to yourself, and keeping everyone really engaged. So those are just two pretty difficult challenges to get across right now, mm-hmm. but something that I'm definitely working on, you know, figuring out and trying to find the answer to.
Yeah. What kind of answers have you started to, like, test when you're trying to get your content out and to rise above the noise? I mean, obviously you can't shout louder.
No, I think you can only tweet so many times, right? So far, what I've been doing and what I've seen really work is, first of all, really niching down on your audience. That's all about finding people who aren't already being kind of over-marketed to, which, yeah, that's not as easy as it sounds, but...
Yeah, that sounds hard.
An example, yeah, I'll give you an example of something that I recently went through where there was kind of an opportunity. So it's tax season right now, mm-hmm. which I don't think a lot of people would really want to be reminded of, but it is. And so last year was the first year for me of doing part-time freelance work, or really any freelance work. So anybody who's done freelance work knows self-employment taxes are not as simple as just inputting a W-2 or anything like that. Mm-hmm. It's a little bit more complicated. So I spent, you know, all pretty much January just stressing out about this, you know, trying to figure out what's the deal with estimated taxes, what's this, and everything, and doing tons of research. And all I wanted was to find a Seattle-based CPA or tax person who could help me as a freelancer. Mm-hmm. And, you know, you would think there's plenty of us out here. There's plenty of Seattle-based freelancers. And I think that's a huge opportunity for accountants to come in and really kind of, you know, sweep us under their wing. But, mm-hmm. you know, I spent days searching and I found one company that could work, but their, like, price structure just wasn't right for me. Mm-hmm. And so even just having, you know, that opportunity of, it is a very niche audience, but just starting with one audience that is a little bit smaller, but will be super loyal because you're speaking directly to them, is really, I think, one way to stand out. Another thing that I've kind of been experimenting with is adding my own unique perspective to things. So No Idea by now is really new. It's essentially just how you can adapt and improve upon what's already out there. We all have our own experiences, our own stories, and our own journeys that we've been through. Mm-hmm. And so, yeah, the idea is just taking things that inspire and engage you and adding your own unique perspective to that and making it your own. That's one other way. And then finally, there are so many channels out there. So that's kind of one benefit and one downfall of the internet, I think, in some ways. But with that, there's so many options and opportunities for finding a channel that really works and resonates with your audience and kind of adapting to that and keeping an eye on things as trends change, and adapting content you currently have, but also all your new content to channels that really work for your audience. So that's what I've been experimenting with.
That's really awesome. The way that you're describing it makes content marketing and strategy, in a sense, sound like you can actually do it.
Yeah.
Not you, but just like it can be done.
Right.
Part of this, I'm assuming when you're doing research and you're niching down and you're figuring all this stuff out, how did you co-found a creative community in Seattle?
Yeah, so that's kind of a story in itself. So I'm actually from Arizona. That is where I went to college and high school. You know, I almost always had Tuesday night classes, and Creative Connect traditionally always takes place on the second Tuesday of every month. And so Creative Connect was actually originally founded in Arizona about 10 years ago. And this founder has been running it out there for a long time. And so I went to a meetup and was completely inspired. The idea of Creative Connect, I'll kind of back up for a second, is that it's an anti, well, we like to call it an anti-networking meetup. So it's essentially a come as you are, relaxed, you know, no agenda.
Nice.
You know, you don't have to bring your business cards. It's fine. You can come tell us about your bad day. It's just, you know, come have a beer, come hang out. And we're just a pretty tight-knit community. And we essentially just meet on the second Tuesday of every month at a rotating venue. And they're all just really cool creative spaces that we find throughout Seattle. So we've done co-working spaces and studios and places that are just really creative and really just casual. You know, you just come hang out and come as you are, for sure. And so when I went to one in Arizona that was like that, and, you know, I'm a college student and I was surrounded by people who have 10, 20 years of experience in photography and design and so many just different creative fields that I just really looked up to. But it wasn't so like, you know, kind of pompous and like, oh, here's my business card. I have 20 years of photography experience. Like, this is how awesome I am. It was just like, oh, yeah. So let me tell you about all these struggles and I'll show you a tour of my studio. And while I'm doing that, I'm going to tell you about kind of this, you know, the time when all my photography equipment broke and that kind of sucked. And, you know, just like being really real and not caring about talking to college students and, you know, the lack of experience, and just really, because of the format of it, just being really real and talking about what you've seen, what you've struggled with, and passing on those kind of tips. So I went to one and came back completely inspired, but because I always had classes on Tuesday nights, I couldn't go again. But I graduated and I moved out to Seattle, and, you know, this has been like 2 years now has passed. I moved here. I didn't know anybody. Like, literally, I worked from home. I didn't talk to anybody most days. It was not the right time or place to start a networking community. And so I waited probably 8 months or so, finally kind of established a little bit of community here, and ended up emailing the founder of the Arizona Creative Connect and said, you know, I really want to do this here. Is that possible? Can I use your logo and your name and, you know, kind of just create a Seattle chapter? And funny enough, he messaged me back and said, yeah, actually, another person from Arizona who just moved to Seattle recently wants to do the same thing. So he just reached out to me also. So I'll just connect you guys and you can figure it out. Yeah, it was really cool. So I met him over a beer and we said, okay, so are we going to do this or are we going to do this? Yeah. And we just decided to go for it. And we spent 6 or 7 months just going to other meetups, other networking events, and just meeting tons of people and talking to people about it. And eventually we kind of grew to where we are now. And we are almost a year into having our first meetup and just meeting all the time. And it's great.
That's awesome. What's the problem that you're trying to solve with this creative community?
For me personally, I'm a super introvert, so I would much rather, you know, kind of sit at home than go to networking events. And so that's why I kind of like to call it the anti-networking event, is that it's so much more than just, you know, regular networking. It's coming out and meeting like-minded people. For me, like, I think there's a need there for just something a little bit more casual, something a little bit more free flowing, and something just that you can really feel like you're meeting other people outside of your kind of normal bubble, because Seattle has tons of groups. Don't get me wrong. There's thousands, I feel like, of groups popping up all the time. Yeah. But a lot of them are very specific into, you know, design groups like AIGA, or, you know, there's one, Ladies Get Paid, which is a very, you know, female oriented and amazing group too. But there wasn't really anything, just a casual, all creative minds. So, you know, whether you work creatively or just are creative, which I believe everyone is inherently creative, so literally anybody could come. I think there was a need for kind of a more casual thing. So that's what we're trying to accomplish here.
How does storytelling and building a community go hand in hand?
So I think that kind of how we covered before is telling stories really builds those deeper connections with people. Whether, you know, like we said before, you're relating with somebody or you're telling somebody about your own experience with something, that's one way that it kind of builds that community. You can also, you know, find people who are like-minded that you can relate to through your stories. So depending on what you're telling a story about, people are going to read it based on their interests, right? So they're going to find it on Medium or they're going to find it on Google because they typed in something that was related to it and they found you and they said, yes, this person knows exactly what I'm thinking and we should connect. And then I also think that it's a way to kind of build links between people with similar or complementing narratives. So whether you are a designer for Microsoft and then you meet somebody who is a project manager for Microsoft and you're like, oh cool, we both work at Microsoft but we have different jobs, so let's talk about our stories and our you know experiences doing that. Just getting that deeper level of connection beyond just, you know, what isn't storytelling, I guess, would just be saying the facts. So hi, my name is Ashley and I work, you know, at Microsoft, which I don't, but that's just an example. and you know, I have red hair and I have green eyes and okay, cool. But you know, tell me more about, you know, how you got the job or, you know, your experiences and your day-to-day life and things like that. So I think that's kind of how people are able to build community through stories.
What do people get from being a part of a creative community, apart from getting out of their house if they're extreme introverts?
Yeah, I mean, I can't even think of downfalls, honestly, of doing it, but there's so many benefits. But I think especially, you know, meeting and connecting with like-minded people. So in the case of Creative Connect, it's meeting with other people who think essentially with the same side of the brain as you do most often, and having that as a similarity just to right off the bat. And also, you know, meeting people who that are outside of your bubble. So even if you're all creatives, designers are meeting photographers and writers and, you know, things like that, where you're just not with the same kinds of people every day that you would be otherwise, whether you're at work or your own personal bubble of your friends and things like that. And then also, I think it really produces opportunities for a collaboration between people. Creatives, hopefully, are always having ideas. And we always love to have ideas, but they're not always feasible, especially on our own. So if there's an opportunity to kind of partner up with somebody, you're not going to get that unless you have, you know, the creative community behind you and a creative community there as an option. And then I also think, you know, there's kind of the obvious one where you can build relationships that would lead to career opportunities down the line too. So, you know, you can just talk to people and get to know people. And when opportunities come up, ideally they'll think of you. And of course that should never be the reason to build the communities, but that's always a nice benefit.
Yeah. So for yourself, have you had any of those moments occur for you where maybe a collaboration has occurred or maybe you got an idea that you didn't have before?
I'm not sure about ideas. I'm sure I have, but again, I have a million. So, but I think, you know, one, I mean, just as the example that I just talked about with Creative Connect, I never would have been able to do, I mean, Creative Connect Seattle would not be around if I didn't go to the one that I went to in Arizona, or if I didn't take the class that was a class trip to go to that Creative Connect. I mean, you can go back as far as you want to go, but you know, that opportunity came up because of the community that I surrounded myself with. Now we have a couple hundred people in our community that wouldn't, you know, maybe not have talked to each other, or, and I know there's been a couple different projects and a couple different collaborations that's come up because of our group so far. And that's always just a really nice feeling, because it's something that you put together and you're seeing these relationships grow and you're seeing these really cool things come out of it. So yeah, I haven't really had too many personally that I can really think of, but outside of especially that one example.
That's still awesome though, that you get to see the fruit occur in other people's relationships. That's awesome.
Yeah, I love it. It's probably my favorite part. I mean, I've really like identified my passion for building community because of that. And I'm always so grateful every time I go to an event and I see just the people who have gone there and the people who are types of people sometimes who don't normally go to things or something, but then they come up and they say, you know, thank you for doing this. You know, I met some really cool people, or seeing, you know, we have a Facebook group too. So just seeing people interact there, it's very rewarding, definitely.
So final question for you. What's one book or resource that has impacted you?
So that's a really good question. I'm trying to read and learn all the time, but I think one of the books that stands out the most to me and the one that I think about a lot of the time is Big Magic, Creative Living Beyond Fear by Elizabeth Gilbert. Mm-hmm. She's the author of Eat, Pray, Love. I'm not sure if you're familiar with that book, but essentially it really offers unique insight and perspective into just how inspiration and creativity works. And the book is just amazing because it encourages you to open yourself up to inspiration when it strikes, and take advantage of it right away before it drifts to somebody else. So one of the examples she talks about is, you know, she's an author. She wrote Eat, Pray, Love and a bunch of other pretty good books as well. And so she had one day an idea for a book and started outlining it and started writing it. But then personal things came up and she kind of put it on the back burner for a while, for years actually. And then she talked to, or she met somebody and they became friends. And later on, you know, what happened was this person had the exact same idea for the exact same book and actually wrote it. And down to the location, down to the types of characters, I mean, maybe not the names, but the exact same conflict, the exact same resolution. I mean, the book was basically the exact same thing as she had, but she didn't tell anybody. She didn't, you know, she never showed anybody her outlines, anything like that. So, you know, I always think about that because I think as creatives, we see that all the time. You have an idea and then you see somebody, you know, you never act on it. And so 5 years later, you see somebody else do the same thing and you think, oh, wait, that was my idea. I wanted to do that. How come they got to do it? And it's almost like they stole it from you, even though you never actually, like, you know, claimed it. So it's just really interesting, just the idea of, you know, whenever inspiration does strike, and as creatives, I think we all know that it's hard. And when that happens, you have to take advantage of it because it can be very rare, and not just kind of put it on the back burner, but just take it and run with it. The book itself is great. It covers just really good approaches and mindsets to embrace creativity in your daily lives and just live a better and more creative life, I think. Yeah. So I definitely recommend it.
What's funny is, like, this is the second time this week that someone has mentioned to me that this book is important to them and that that we should read it. And I'm just I guess I have to pull it off the shelf again.
It's I love it. It's great. I think it's been a long time since I read it, but I remember a lot of it, and that's hard to do because, you know, it's especially if you read books all the time or as busy as I am. So
yeah. Well, it's funny too, because you started telling the story and I'm like, oh yeah, that story was in there.
Yeah. Right.
And it makes me think about this idea of originality. It's like, we're so worried about being original as creatives. Yeah. You know, we have to be original. Whereas Well, what does originality even mean if two people apart from each other can have the exact same idea?
Exactly. Oh, yeah, that opens up a whole new bucket of worms.
Yeah.
Yeah. No, it's really interesting. I mean, whenever I think about storytelling, it just blows my mind. So, but yeah.
Well, Ashley, thank you so much for being a guest on Getting Work to Work. It's been awesome to talk about stories and Lord of the Rings and big magic and content marketing. I've had a blast. Thank you so much.
Yeah, thank you. I really, really appreciate it. And I really enjoyed talking with you.
That does it for this episode of Getting Work to Work. Thank you so much for taking the time to listen to this podcast. It means so much to me that you do. Would you be willing to share Getting Work to Work with your friends, other creative professionals, and entrepreneurs? You can send them to gwtw.co or have them search for Getting Work to Work on most podcast platforms. Got a few moments to let me know what you think of the show? You can head to Getting Work to Work on Apple Podcasts, click ratings and reviews, and either click the number of stars to rate the show or write a review. Thank you so much for doing so. Would you like to be a guest on a future episode of Getting Work to Work or know someone who should be on the show? Maybe you need some advice or just want someone to say hi to. Drop me a line by sending me an email. I'm chris@chrismartinstudios.com, or you can find me on Twitter. I'm @CMStudios. I love this quote from Alan Alda's book, If I Understood You, Would I Have This Look on My Face? He writes, words can introduce you to an idea, but it takes an experience to transform you. Until next time, may creativity and curiosity fuel your life.